Hey there, welcome to Leading Change Conversations, the podcast where we tackle real-life challenges with leaders like you to make organizational change a breeze. In this episode, we will share strategies on how to improve productivity and create buy-in for ambitious projects. I am Ulrike Seminati, and I train, coach, and inspire leaders and leadership teams to turn into successful change agents, to communicate with impact, and to lead with authenticity. Now, let me introduce you to our amazing guest, Diego Picciatini. Diego is the CEO of Amicorp Management Services, a global player in the financial services industry. After his law studies in Italy, he started his career as legal and business advisor in the MENA region, where he advised prominent families, including royal family members, expanding their businesses globally. He moved to Zurich 10 years ago, and he's now leading a global team of professionals providing financial and administration services to institutional, corporate, and private clients. Welcome, Diego.
Thank you very much, Ulrike. Very nice being here with you.
Yes. So we have both worked on improving productivity, you as a CEO, me as a trainer and consultant, and what we both strongly agree on is that the way leaders see and treat people is the one game changer when it comes to improving productivity, right? So do you want to share your perspective on that?
Absolutely. Well, this is indeed one of the main points. When I arrived here and I found a team which was, to be honest, quite demotivated because probably also the way they've been treated for quite some time was not really giving them the possibility to express themselves or to do what they could bring to the table. So what I always thought was this sort of inclusive leadership as one of the main driver for the team to express themselves and to bring the productivity to its best. And so I'm actually quite proud and happy to say that it happened indeed.
And I mean, inclusive leadership is one of these great tendencies that I think most leaders are kind of aware, yes, that's the thing I should do. Now, it's not easy to apply always. And I think the difficulty, just what I want to know is, you know, if you say people to make people speak up, I know that many leaders struggle very much with that because people do not want or do not dare to speak up. How did you take it?
Well, I actually got a very, very good tip from a good friend of mine. He's a very well-known leader in the financial industry. He has been leading as a CEO of one of the largest banks in the world. And then I was chairman of a very large private equity company. And he introduced a concept which I liked a lot, which was the obligation to dissent. So basically, every time he was bringing as a leader a topic to the table and he had to take a decision, he was asking his team to speak up. Tell me one reason why I'm wrong. And that was giving the confidence of the team to actually not only following the instructions, but bring in their points. And this was a sort of inclusive leadership suggestion, which I think to me made a lot of changes, particularly to them. Then it's not always that mandatory that someone who doesn't want to do so is bringing up his point of view, or better, not all the time. But to give them the possibility to do it and to be part of the decision-making process was actually a great game changer, to give them more responsibilities and to feel importance in the growth of what we do on a daily basis. To me, was by far the best that I could bring to this company.
I think that's a very good idea, actually, because you want them to dissent. Usually you only ask, please give me your opinion.
Correct. No, absolutely. So this is my opinion. Now, tell me why I'm wrong. And that actually is bringing something new to the table. And it's not like repeating what the decision has been taken and why it was that good. But if you don't get critics, you never learn, you never grow. And this is exactly what I think it was a great thing.
Yeah, that's really, really great. I like that. I hear that so often from my clients. I don't know how I make people speak up. They don't.
Yeah, correct.
They work on the trust, they work on the connection, and all of that is right, but it takes a long time and it's not always working very well. So this is really a very good shortcut, I think. Breaks through the silence.
Well, it worked.
Now, I can imagine, or I know many leaders who have that profile that it's very hard for them to give away control because they're very strong result orientation, pretty common, especially among senior leaders. And that means that they want to achieve the result. And that in turn means that they want to keep the control of the process, how to get there, the speed to get there. And inclusive processes often are slower, or at least people think that they are slower.
But it's a combination of factors. And of course, this inclusive leadership style doesn't always work, right? I mean, you need to adapt yourself based on different cultures, on different mentalities. And I believe as a true leader, you need to be the one who's putting your ego aside and then understanding what kind of motivation you have to use in order to have the team following what you want to achieve. And again, it's really, there are so many different qualities that are requested to be put on the table in different moments. You know, you should never forget that we are all human beings. And at the same time, everyone can have a bad day or had family issues or had financial issues. And so you really never know why they are not as productive as usual, maybe. And you need to be the one trying to understand and to motivate them with the right key. So again, it's really a lot of psychological effort that you need to put in place, without forgetting that, again, if you want to be a leader, you need to be admired by the way you're treating people. When you're strong, when you're taking decisions, when fearing that something is going to go wrong. And again, if you show that you are sharing the success with the others and you're putting them on top of the list of the people who needs to be awarded, then this kind of respect is paying back with productivity, responsiveness.
Mm. Yeah, like you say, there's a lot of psychology actually behind that. And I think that as a leader, you first need to be very aware of your motivations. You said something before, you sometimes need to put your motivations aside.
Mm-hmm.
Or your expectations in terms of speed, for example, or decision making, because people somehow need to come with you along that path of growth, development, or change, or wherever you are. Because if not, they just run behind you and always feel like insufficient in a way as well.
Well, probably I'm wrong, but very often I'm making some parallel with the role of leading the family, whether it's the father or the mother or together. And sometimes it's really the way you're passing the message. And we all know that it's way more important the way you talk to people rather than what you say. And then if it's a good combination of both, then you realize that it's all about the psychological effort of understanding what people need to hear sometimes. Sometimes you need to be more straightforward. Sometimes you need to be more diplomatic. And sometimes it's just a matter of the differences that we all have. And the people that you're working with, they are not getting the same message in the same way, because maybe they are concentrating on a smaller portion of the message. So once again, that plays a huge role in having the team following what you want to achieve. And it's a psychological effort that we all do also with our kids, right? So we have kids and they're all different. One can be motivated one way and the other one can be motivated the other way. The key is to find the right way to do it in a tailor-made way.
Yes, tailor-made is a good word. Think about that. Did you do something, you know, when you say tailor-made, do you think of the personality style of people? What are they motivated by? What are the differences between the different team members that you have?
Yeah, well, that's always a huge topic, right? I mean, because there are colleagues who are not motivated by making big steps in the career, but they want to have a more relaxed way of living. And you need to appreciate that. And not everyone is moved by, I want to make big steps in my career. But on the other side, if you see that there's a talent who wants to grow, so you need to be there always and happy to have your team growing. I met different leaders in my life, and I have to admit that I got very often also disappointed by the way they were protecting their position, the title, being scared of having either the new generations or other colleagues growing maybe faster that they could handle it. And this is one of the biggest mistake that we as leaders can make. If you do not have good people growing with you, you will never grow enough to be considered again a leader. So yeah, well, there are so many, and you know better than me, Ulrike. I mean, there are so many different characters around this world, right? And to help them all sometimes is one of the biggest challenge. Nevertheless, I guess it's one of the real final ultimate goal of a leader to try to help as many good people as possible to grow and to motivate them in the right direction. So that's the way you go beyond a smaller group, but you really go for the wider picture and for the wider group of people growing with you.
Mm. And we can never actually think that our growth aspirations are the ones of the others.
Because... Absolutely, 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 absolutely. Whatever you like, maybe I don't feel it's that important, right? But then again, you need to put your personality aside and being focused on the person you're talking to the person you want to motivate, the person that you want to have growing in the direction that person wants to grow. And it's not always growing that way. Sometimes it's just having a peaceful life, and you need to appreciate that. And you know that you can count on that super reliable person for some specific task. And the sooner you realize, the better, because then you will know that you will always have a very stable, good person supporting you for your growth. But then you need to count on someone else in order to achieve some different task. That's what I believe is the adaptability of our role. So we really need to be extremely careful in helping the right way the people, and not in a standard way.
Mm, exactly. Because some are motivated by their teams, by collaboration, by making Absolutely. Others happy. It's totally different from a result-oriented way of thinking. It's the exact opposite.
More freedom, more trust, or being supported, or joining you to different meetings. Someone else prefer to run the show his own and then to share it later. And there are so many different cases, right, in a corporate world, and you also know it that well, that you need to be the one to envisioning correctly what your colleagues want, to analyze it properly, and then to get it into practical examples on a daily basis. that's the way it is.
Yeah, exactly. When you did that, I mean, I know that leaders always skip that step. That means usually they look, when they do that, they look first immediately into the other people and mm-hmm. evaluate how are they, what do they mm-hmm. want. And they miss the very first most crucial step, which is evaluating first what do they themselves want. Themselves, actually, and to be very honest with that, to really be clear. And often we are not so honest with ourselves because we were also formatted in a way in the company where we are. Maybe if you are there already for 10 years or more, for example, you're a bit formatted in a way what the ideal leader should look like here, according to the company values or leadership behaviors that might have been defined. And then they have difficulties to even identify themselves properly because we are all biased by our own views, especially about ourselves. And so it's a relatively difficult task. How did you manage that? Did you go through that process yourself?
Well, yes, big time. And I see it's really on almost on a daily basis. And to come up with the solution, to me at least, is very impossible. But on the other hand, it's another combination of factors. And I do have live cases which are exactly going in the direction of what you're talking about. Very often you have the difficulties to judge yourself correctly. And so we do have on a regular basis this sort of survey where you had the chance to evaluate with very objective way what you have achieved. And then if what you achieve is actually the same way your direct reporting line is perceiving about you. And then ultimately, we have a little bit of an open conversation in order to understand what it can be improved. I can give you quite interesting examples of colleagues who thought so highly about themselves, and the perception of the rest of the team members were completely different. This exercise was quite helpful for them to understand that there was a huge difference, a huge gap between the perception, right, and what they thought about themselves. But then again, it depends how big your ego is, but if you are ready to be supported, and again, if you pass the message correctly, and that was what we have implemented here, for instance, was helping them to develop much better the fantastic skills that those guys had, but also in a way that could be perceived by the other colleagues. Sometimes, you know, it's something very simple. The specific person I'm thinking about at the moment was quite selfish. And then he was really one of the best performer. But what he was missing was helping colleagues who remain behind. And then it was just a matter of explaining why it's so important and so great to have colleagues recognizing the great effort that you made in order to support them and to grow all together. So again, it's a funny combination of factors that doesn't go on a straight line, but you need to adapt on a constant basis based on the team you want to have. And if you believe that team can be created and redesigned according to the good rules. And I believe if you bring good rules to the table, most of the people are ready to follow.
Yeah, that's right. I believe that too. And I think when we really give people the chance to live up to their strengths, even if these strengths are very different, and not everybody is agile and dynamic and extrovert, for example, are often an amazingly analytical, they will find the mistakes that might hang around on the horizon, yeah?
Rick, I need to admit, I do tons of mistakes on a daily basis, right? And sometimes I really would love to have more people next to my wife telling me that I'm making a lot of mistakes, right? to get better. So that's what we are made for, and the way we can help each other to become all better leaders. That's
yeah.
it.
Yeah, exactly. And I think it's quite interesting when I work with leaders on better understanding themselves, it's interesting that those who are very outspoken, usually very extrovert, that suddenly they see how much stress they might put on the calmer ones because they're not aware of that at all. Mm. And usually as there is no response from calmer people, if you are someone who is very outspoken, you even reinforce that message because you have the feeling there's no reaction or not the appropriate reaction in their mind. And they reinforce the message and stress the other person even
yeah.
more.
Well, you know, that's another good way to measure the capacity of a leader to actually to handle stressful situation. And I tend to be a pretty calm person, and so I try to show that as the main characteristic, even though we go through different challenges on a daily basis. And you know, passing stress to the others doesn't help anyone. And no matter how spoken you are, I believe it's really a matter of making sure everyone can rely on someone who's going to help them to cool down when there is a stressful moment, and then to help each other to fight against the issues. When there is an issue, the worst thing that a leader can do is hide himself or to start sharing too much the stress. So the stress needs to be handled. At the end, the truth is very often you are alone in taking decisions. But then if you have created a good team, as we were talking about before, then you know that you can rely on many people who will always be there to support you. Because at the end, we all have some weaknesses, right? And in order to, you know, to go them through, if you have good people you can talk to or you can share your fear, your stress in a calm way, well, then you can get the support you need.
Hmm. Let's speak about vulnerability, which is also linked to that, you know, showing, for example, stress, showing that. And you hear that often as well. Leaders should show more vulnerability or should be honest more about their weaknesses in a certain way, not like bringing them onto the table like a list of weaknesses, but sometimes say that they're maybe also not feeling very comfortable with that situation. However, mm-hmm. It's obvious that the more senior you are in a position, mm-hmm. the more people also need to trust in your competence.
Correct. Correct.
Decision making. Where do you put that right balance between being competent on the one side and showing that, but also from time to time showing when you don't feel 100% sure mm-hmm. about something? Mm-hmm.
I think there's no reason to be embarrassed in admitting your limits in general for whatever you do. And also showing that you're not always 100% sure of what you're doing, but nevertheless, you're taking the decision, even though you are unsure if the outcome is going to be positive, is going to pass the positive message. Because at the end, what it counts is when there is the need to take a decision, you take it. And that would be absolutely, apologies for saying that, but I believe is one of the most stupid things that a leader can do is being always 100% sure of what he does. No matter what, I'm 100% sure that it's going to work out. That may be one of the characteristics which is sometimes needed in some certain circumstances. But in general, if you are not sure about that, you can also show that's a light weakness, and then it's going to be appreciated. But the most important thing is, I'm not 100% sure, but I take the decision because I know this is the right thing to do now without waiting that someone else is going to tell me what to do, because that is not going to help. So yes, I believe the balance is exactly there to show that you have the strength to take decisions, even though you know the limit, your limit.
And I think everybody, like you say, has to set it for themselves because it's on another level for everyone else.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, at the end, you need to be a balanced person yourself. Yeah. And if you believe you are a balanced person yourself and you know when you can make use of your specific skills, then you can keep on demonstrating yourself and the others that, yeah, some good qualities maybe, right? But then it's going to be demonstrated out of the results. And then, if you keep on taking bad decision, yeah, sorry, probably there's something wrong in your leadership skills.
Exactly. Well, and all of that leads to a higher trust, which in turn leads to a higher productivity, obviously, because then people are much more empowered, much more motivated, and things usually turn out in a much better way than if they're not, obviously. Yeah? So empowerment. Obviously. Like you said, also when the very first thing that you said, when that people can disagree very actively, that means they are empowered to also bring something to the table. And that very much helps, obviously, in terms of productivity. Now, there are always somewhere, everybody knows people like that or has worked with people like that. There's always this kind of person who just always wants to stay in the negative position.
Oh my gosh.
Wants to stay in the victim role. Things are all bad. It's always like that. And they're just very resistant to learning, very resistant to growing in any way. What do you do with such a person?
Yeah, well, that's a frustration, I can tell you. You really need to come up with all of the positive energy that you have on a daily basis to fight against that. Yes, we discussed that as one of the initial topic about the psychology. When you know that this is the behavior and the approach that the specific person or the team members or a colleague has, you need to fight it, showing that there's nothing which comes with good results with a pessimistic approach. There's nothing good on that. And then if you show it on a constant basis, you can really prove even the most pessimistic, the most negative person that doesn't help is quality of life. So we had several examples of that. And so you are so right. And there are so many people that unfortunately, they do have that kind of approach. Everything is always negative and nothing is really working fine. And they are never happy. And they always come with complaints. But, you know, at some point, I discovered that also those people, they have two kind of reactions. One is if they are motivated to become better leaders themselves, they have to put themselves to the other side of the table. Stop complaining, bring me a solution. And that's something that turned out to be the good solution for many of the leaders who are growing with me. Yeah, they started with that approach. I don't want to hear any complaint from you. You deserve much more. Bring the solution to yourself, to the team, and you are now sitting to this part of the table. And it worked out extremely well. In the other case, which didn't work out, well, unfortunately, we are not working together anymore.
Yes. I mean, that's what's happening at the end. I mean, this is just kind of situation. Sometimes I'm always working with leaders and they tried a lot of different things and it just doesn't work at all. I said, at some point, you need to make a decision because if you don't, this team member will obviously tear down all the other team members.
Correct. Exactly. Unfortunately, it becomes a poison. And when it becomes a poison, you need to take action. And unfortunately, it's bad for them. It's bad for the team. So you need to take a decision. And if it doesn't work out, even though great colleagues, great professionals from knowledge perspective, but that approach, if you're working in a wider environment with other colleagues, it's a poison you cannot afford to have.
Mm-hmm. What would be an approach if you bring it now to change and you launch a new change project, which is one of these where you know that people will not be super happy about because it's additional work and it's very hard also to explain them the reasons why and why this is beneficial at the end. How do you approach that best?
Well, there are two kind of messages, I believe, with two different approaches, but again, they get along quite well, and they must go together. One is, to me, I like to be a very democratic, open leader, so to say, and I try to ask the opinions of most of the team members and what they think. But at the same time, I pass the message, the change must be implemented. If something doesn't work and the change must come, give me your opinion, but this is, in any case, what's going to happen. So it's a sort of really making them part of this change, but also to let them understand that if the change must happen, it will happen, whether they like it or not, whether I like it or not. Putting myself in the group of people who might not be so happy to have that change implemented, but if needed, because things are not working as expected, then the change must happen. So I think those are the two messages, to be as open as possible to receive inputs, but also to pass the same message that change will happen, whether we like it or not. And then you see is the natural development of the relationship with the people who will understand that this decision maybe is not the best, but it's a decision, and that decision has been taken. And I would say that in many cases where those kind of decisions have been taken, then they've been followed very well.
And the majority of the case is about growing the people, building on who they are, increasing by this the productivity of the whole team, because everybody is motivated in a more intrinsic way. Because like we said at the very, very beginning, and I think that's important to retain, it has to be something that is inclusive on the one hand, but that is also individually tailored to the different people. It's not one size fits all.
100%. Again, you need to adapt yourself first to the needs of a bigger vision.
Thank you very much, Diego, for that fantastic conversation.
Thank you very much to you, Ulrika. It was a great pleasure indeed.
And thanks to the audience for tuning into Leading Change Conversations today. So if you want to improve your own skills on leading change or communicating more effectively, check out my courses for individuals on my website. We have a bunch of useful online classes coming up around overcoming procrastination, communicating with impact, influencing through presence, or surmounting change resistance, for example. So until next time, keep leading, keep learning, and making a difference. Thank you.
Thank you very much.